Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C Squared. Then I jumped on the bandwagon. I'm your host, Aaliyah, and this is Heavy Business, a podcast where we talk to music industry professionals and musicians and learn together about the music industry, marketing, and other tools that can help you promote the music you put so much effort into creating. Hello and welcome. This is Heavy Business. I'm Aaliyah.
And I'm Curtis.
And today we are here with editor-in-chief of Outburn Magazine and photographer to the darkest stars of metal, Jeremy Saffer. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I would love to hear like a brief summary about how you got started in photography and what was your journey like to where you are today. You photographed some huge, huge names in metal, and yeah, I'd just love to hear your story.
Sure. So the shortest version is I started off when I was in bands, opening for some bigger bands, and I would always take a camera with me. So I would shoot the bands we opened for, and Scott Lee, who's a local promoter in Western Massachusetts at the time, saw me doing that and was like, hey, why don't you come and shoot all of our shows? And so I started shooting all of his shows, which were weekly in Springfield, Massachusetts, or Chicopee. And it was, you know, always like Terror, Throwdown, Shadows Fall, all that kind of stuff. And he worked for a bigger company called Mass Concerts, which he brought me on to, which does, you know, the Palladium, the Webster, and then also bigger shows like Warped Tour and all that. So I started shooting that for fun. And that was kind of what I did while I was also working on my music and stuff. And since I was little, I wanted to go to the Berklee School of Music. And so that's kind of what I did. I went to Berklee School of Music for music production and engineering, and I hated it. It was the worst thing ever. It destroyed my love for playing music. And when I got to my third semester, I went to Scott and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I hate doing this. And he was like, well, what do you like to do? I was like, take pictures. He's like, do that. Cause it never really dawned on me that it was something I could do other than for fun, to get into shows for free and like, you know, shoot bands and have that kind of fun. I didn't think of it as something that could be like an income. So I immediately started touring. And in 2003, I promise I know what year it is. In 2003, I jumped off tour, went to the Hallmark Institute of Photography. Yeah, right. I never know. But I went to the Hallmark Institute of Photography, which was a 10-month intensive rather than a 4-year, because I didn't want to go to a 4-year college for photography. I was like, I'm already in the industry doing it. I don't want to take a 4-year break because that could like kill all the momentum I have.
Totally, totally.
So it was a 10-month intensive. I did that and I went right back out on tour. But that's when I shifted from, like, I started when I was 15 shooting bands live. And that was when I was like 19, 20. I learned how to do more portraiture stuff. So I kind of shifted gears to doing more photo shoot stuff. And it kind of built over that decade where I was shooting shows and then shooting, you know, doing photo shoots. And now it's, you know, the opposite. I'm mostly doing photo shoots, and every now and again, I'll shoot a show. You know, instead of shooting like 300 shows a year, I'm shooting like 15 and doing 300 photo shoots a year.
Wow.
I have a dumb question, and forgive me for, because I know nothing about photography. Aaliyah's the photography person.
I know barely any.
So. Well, you know more than I do, at least. So
it's so easy. You just do that.
You just click. Yeah. Everybody can do it, right? So how did you kind of learn how to do it at first? Was it kind of like, were you reading stuff? Like, how does one go about learning how to do this thing? I can't do it.
So to give you the take on how I started shooting shows, some of the first big shows I shot, I had photo passes, right? Like Cradle of Filth show, Satyricon, Immortal, Milwaukee Metal Fest, and New Jersey Metal Fest, and New England Metal and Hardcore Fest were the first shows I shot. And the tickets said no professional cameras allowed. I didn't know that that didn't pertain to people with photo passes. So I lined my pockets with 10 disposable cameras and shot my first bunch of shows on disposable cameras because I didn't know I could bring in a camera. And
oh,
as
my
I
goodness.
Shot,
that's awesome. Yeah.
Just imagine 15-year-old me with camo, with car cargo shorts on, just loaded with disposable cameras and everyone in the photo pit looking at me like I didn't belong there and I should be kicked out, you know.
Oh, but I mean, that would give you such a unique look to the photos, I feel like.
Yes, terrible. They're awful, but it's a beginning. Everyone starts somewhere. But as I learned that I could bring a professional camera in, I took my mom's Canon AE-1, which is a film camera, and shot a couple of shows of film, and it was coming out so dark. So I went into the local Ritz camera at the mall and had like a 6-hour conversation with the person behind the counter who taught me about like f-stop, shutter speed, and ISO, which are the three things you need to know in photography, like kind of the triangle of photography. And then I started shooting more and more and understanding it and getting it. But to be fair, I was shooting fully auto, no manual, anything, just, you know, like shooting a cell phone, essentially, until I went to the Hallmark Institute of Photography and really learned everything, like all the technical aspects of photography. And I haven't shot on auto since, of course. You know, fully manual is the way to be, knowing everything, knowing how to get the exposure you want. And it's really easy to learn. I feel like if you have the basics of ISO, f-stop, and shutter speed, you have everything you really need in photography for the basics. That's your foundation. So it's really easy to build off that. And it's really easy to learn that because it's easy to explain too.
So tell me, how did you get the photo pass if you hadn't shot before?
Because I was already working.
Oh, I see.
He shot at the local shows, right? The shows that you were playing.
I see. Okay. Okay. I thought that was first. Okay.
And so you developed relationships and then.
I got it.
Yeah. So I got the photo passes, and like, as I started working for mass concerts, I did get a small Sony point and shoot camera, and that's what I was shooting with at first. And ooh, those shots are rough. The, you know, 1 megapixel, 2 megabyte photos from 1999, but yeah, so that's kind of how I got started. And, you know, luckily quality went up with digital.
So you mentioned like the triad of like principles with the photography, and yeah, there's so much on YouTube now that people can learn. Yeah. Why should someone consider taking a course like you did? Is there any distinct advantages to that?
Yeah, I'm not teaching the basics. I'm not teaching the kind of the foundation. I'm teaching specialty stuff. So I'm teaching, depending on which seminar you go to, with like the Totally Tubular seminar, which is just tube lighting. It is nothing but tube lighting. So I'm teaching color theory, color balance, how to do shots with tubes, be it one person to five people to more. So it's very
that's like a skill like a lot of people don't have, shooting multiple people. Is there like some, do you think it's more difficult to shoot multiple people versus like one or two people?
It depends on the group. Sometimes two difficult people are much more, or even one difficult person is much more problematic to deal with than, you know, six or seven or nine easy people to deal with. So I think it's all dependent on the group, but in terms of lighting, in terms of technical stuff, when you're shooting larger groups, you just want to make sure you're at a higher f-stop so everyone's in focus, so you're not shooting like the lead singer and then everyone else is blurry, you know, shooting at like f4 or something. But and making sure you have lighting that can compensate for that. So yeah.
Right. Sorry I interrupted you, but please go into a little more detail about the workshops you offer.
Oh, okay. So there's the tubular one. I'm working on a strobe one that's going to be announced soon. I have the business seminar, which is all about, you know, branding, marketing, social networks, all that kind of stuff, as well as lighting, hiring assistants, traveling, what type of gear to use for certain situations, all that kind of stuff. But it's very, very business heavy. There's a like essentially a 5-hour section of the business of music photography. It's very intensive. And then people live shoot bands after. So anytime you do a seminar with me, there's going to be a band there or a group there or multiple bands. And you'll see me do a live shoot with the band using different setups. And then those photographers who take the course then get to do live photo shoots with the groups, which are great because they get that hands-on experience. They get to add it to their portfolio. They get to deal with using different types of lighting, and I make it a real world scenario. So I'm like the evil tour manager, and they have, you know, 2 minutes till sound check, go get your shot. which is sometimes the reality of photo shoots. You know, you shoot a band walking to stage, they stop in front of your background, you get the shots you need, they go on to stage. That does happen. I mean, I've done 30-second photo shoots or even two-shot photo shoots. It is what it is.
I was going to ask you, okay, so I'll ask this outside of that context. If you're in like a studio setting, how long does a photo shoot generally take?
I've done studio photo shoots that are 10 minutes. I've done studio photo shoots that are a week long. So it definitely runs the gamut.
Okay, wide range.
Yeah.
How should bands prepare if they're going in for a photo shoot for, let's say, for their promos for their next album? Mm-hmm. How should they prepare to make sure that they are in the best, like, shape, or not the best shape, but like how did, should they prepare for a photo shoot? Make sure they're ready.
Yeah, of course. I'd say make sure everyone's on the same page. Everyone knows the kind of ideas they want to go with. Having a rough idea of like, hey, here's the look we're going for, or looks we're going for. Having a cohesive look. Everyone has the right wardrobe that the band's all agreed to and talked about. Because the worst situation is when a band shows up and they're like, well, this is what I brought. And they're like, dude, we're all wearing black and you have like this bright green thing. What are you doing? Like, so it's important to have those discussions way prior to the shoot and to come prepared. But luckily, usually there's a Walmart nearby or something if you need to get something. But having a rough idea of what you want to do, or at least, you know, fleshing that out with the photographer, where you and the photographer have an idea of what you're going to get. And sometimes they just put it all in my hands. It's like, we don't know what to do. Do what you do. You're a photographer, figure it out. And that's easy. It's easy to kind of, you know, do an icebreaker set of photos on a white background with easy lighting that's kind of fail-proof, and getting an idea of their look, of what they want, of what bands they like, what looks they like, and make it so it doesn't look like they're doing a tribute to that band, if that makes sense. You want to give them their own kind of visual identity.
Listen, I'm in symphonic metal genre. You know how many bands like have the same look for this genre.
For sure.
I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask you a question. So what can bands do to prepare, like if they're going to work with you, like how should a band be prepared to be like ready there? Like, what do you need?
I think every photo shoot's different and it depends on what it's for. Sure. So if I'm shooting something for a small piece in Outburn, if I'm shooting a cover, if I'm shooting their own promo photos, if I'm shooting endorsement photos, every type of situation is very, very, very different. Not only in terms of what to bring to the shoot or how to prepare, but in terms of like length of time for the shoot. So if I'm doing their own promo photos, my goal is always to give them more than they need. So they have exclusives for multiple magazines. They have exclusives for their layout. They have merch exclusives. They have just as many different looks as possible. And I'll even try to get that with any shoot I do. The idea is, okay, I'm doing a shoot for, say, you know, Metal Hammer or Outburn or whoever, to get some extra stuff so the editor has options, and whatever doesn't get used could potentially get used, you know, somewhere else if it's approved to get used elsewhere. So there's a lot of shoots I do where, you know, some of it goes to Outburn while some of it goes to Metal Hammer or some of it goes to the band. That's very often the scenario when I do photo shoots with bands. You know, it's going to multiple outlets rather than just for them or just for a single outlet.
So
getting as much as possible is ideal. So knowing some bands can change their clothes, whereas some bands are just like, this is what we wear on stage. The idea is for the photographer to prepare, not the band. For the photographer to know, okay, I need to have different lighting setups, different lighting, different backgrounds, different color lighting, different lenses, different effects that I can do to make this set look like it was shot on a different day than this set, or just make it as diverse as possible, if that makes sense.
Totally. And what do bands do that make your job a little bit harder than it should be?
There's not too much that makes it difficult, aside from there are some artists who are very picky about the way they look in photos and very controlling, which is fine. I get that. And I'm totally cool with that. But does make things a little more difficult for me in terms of like, okay, instead of, okay, we have the photos, here you go, use what you need to use. You know, some bands are like, oh, can you edit this, 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 and this? Let me watch you edit. Let me do different things, which is fine. But it just means less images get out and it kind of slows the process a bit. It is what it is. Bands that, if we're doing a shoot on a day of a show, right, and there's no space to do it, and they have to do the shoot before doors, and they don't want to do the shoot before doors because they have makeup or outfits, and you know that makes it difficult. That makes it sometimes where the shoot can't happen. Like there's unfortunately a photo shoot I didn't do with Black Dahlia, and it was their last U.S. tour before Trevor left us, and I had to leave because there was nowhere to do the shoot after doors, and they would only shoot right before they went on stage. And so I missed out on that shoot, unfortunately, which is a huge bummer. I wish I just found a way to make it work, but yeah. So those kind of things are, yeah, exactly. Those kind of things are kind of tough, but I can't think of bands other than a few very, very, very rare instances where bands are just like not in the mood that day to do a photo shoot. And I get that. And unfortunately, I can't move the day of the shoot. Like, I can't go to wherever the next show date is. I'm there to do the shoot that day. Everyone has bad days. You know, it is what it is. And I've only had very, very rare few instances where a band was just not having it that day. But for the most part, it's pretty easy. It's not too difficult.
Does it ever come up where it's like you think something isn't going to work, but the band insists for you to shoot it that way, if that makes sense? And how do you handle it if so?
I'm always honest. We have an open communication whenever I'm working with a band, as long as they can hear me, if there's not like a band on stage or something. But what I always do is I show them back of camera for a lot of reasons. So I'll do my shots and then I'll show them what it looks like. And then immediately they have that feedback of, okay, this is working, this doesn't work, I want to change this, or I love this. And it can get a band so hyped. For example, I did a photo shoot with I'm not going to say who they are because they're one of my favorite bands and they don't know that and no one else is going to know that. But I did a shoot with them and it was for a magazine and it was a very small shoot. I showed them the back of camera and then they hired me that minute to do their new photos for their new album, for their new promos right then and there. And that's why you show bands back of camera. For example, Watame, the first US tour they did where they were coming around, they wouldn't shoot in makeup. They're like, no, we're not going to shoot in full makeup with a US photographer. We're just not going to do it. So I shot them in their regular street, like kind of Ramones looking, like kind of punky kind of clothes, showed them back of camera. And they're like, you know what you're doing. We're shooting with you in full makeup. And I was the first US photographer to shoot them in full makeup, as far as I know. So again, showing them back of camera shows them, you know, what's working, what's not working. And if they have an idea, they're like, hey, I really, really want to do it this way. You take a shot, you show them back of camera, you give them, you know, your feedback. And if they love it and you don't, and the shoot's for them, do what they want, you know, might as well get what they want and then do what you want. So you can do both. There's no reason to not do something they really like. If they really like it, just roll with it. Yeah. You don't want to have a combative situation when you're shooting. You want it to be as cohesive and, you know, cooperative as possible.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of, if there's like bad energy in the photo shoot, you can usually see it in the photos. So I can see why you'd want to avoid that.
Yeah, absolutely. Luckily, I've never had those situations really pop up. Everyone's been kind of cool, which is awesome.
And it sounds like you know how to talk to people to avoid it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've been shooting for 20 years now. I feel like at this point, you know how to deal with it. You know how to deal with the rare outliers where something gets a little tricky, which is very, very few and far between, but you learn how to deal with people. And most of the bands I'm shooting, I've probably shot before for the most part. It's probably one in every 10 shoots is a band I haven't shot before. But for the most part, it's either bands I've shot before or bands that already know me and know my work and know how I work, which is great.
So you've probably, I mean, not probably, you see a lot of promo pictures, not just your own, because I mean, you get the Outburn promos as well. So What do you think are the things that commonly crop up that bands are doing wrong in their photos, in your own opinion, or what should they be doing better? I guess is probably the right question.
I think it depends on the band. I think some bands' visual identity is vital for them. And I think with some other bands, it doesn't really matter. Some bands are not as visually, it's just not important to them, their visual identity. It's the music, and they don't need both. You know, there's some artists out there that are just like, I don't care, like, whatever, photos. And then there's other bands who are like, no, listen, this is our visual legacy and it has to look this way. And I like working with them, the ones who care about what they look like. But you know, there's some other genres like death metal bands that just look like death metal bands. And the cool thing is you see those photos and you know what that band sounds like. And I think that's ideal. The thing that threw everyone for a loop like 12 years ago was Ghost. Ghost came out and they look like the most extreme black metal band you've ever heard. And then you hear the band and every extreme metalhead's like, I hate this. And then they blow up and they're like the most amazing and visually iconic band out there of the last like 15, 20 years or something like that. But yeah, I think having a visual identity, if you care about it, is very important. And having an identity that is yours versus someone else's ideas is important if you can do it. You know, there's only so much you can do in photos. There's only so much different types of lighting. And when you're on a budget, which I would say all of the bands in our universe are kind of on a little bit of a budget, you know, you can't exactly do a set build with, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. You kind of got to work with what you have.
Yeah, we're not Rammstein here.
Oh my God, they're so good. Yeah.
I know.
But yeah, if you think of those visually iconic bands, they always have kind of an identity. And even though it changes over the years, like Motionless now looks nothing like they did 10 years ago, but they've been very careful about their visual identity as they went. And then if you think of a band like, I don't know, we'll say, no, I think Dream Theater kind of cares about their visual identity. What's a band out there that just Cannibal Corpse looks like fucking Cannibal Corpse?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ben. I don't know if you can't swear on this thing, but
That's fine.
like, Cannibal Corpse looks like Cannibal Corpse looks like Cannibal Corpse. Any photo shoot they do, they look like Cannibal Corpse. There is very little variation there, and all of their shots look like Cannibal Corpse. It's like the Slayer phenomenon where you can like freeze them in ice and then unfreeze them, and that is, they are what they are, you know? They have that strong, like, this is who we are and what we look like, you know?
For magazine purposes, though. What would you say gives an advantage for getting featured in a magazine? Because obviously magazines are visual. There's got to be a visual aspect to it. So just from as an editor in chief hat, what would you say would be the best, kind of like the best tips you can give for bands if they want to get into print
I
for
think being
visual?
more eye-catching with your photos, for sure. I mean, I look at photos very differently in the editor-in-chief lens versus a photographer lens. When I'm looking at images as editor-in-chief, and actually Rodney is the one who does a lot of the, you know, putting the magazine together, picking the photos. But in my eyes, for cover especially, it has to be an interesting photo. It can't be boring. It can't be a band standing there all morose and like, you know, stagnant. You want something exciting that's going to catch people's eyes and catch attention. Because essentially, what you want, the ideal thing is someone's flipping through the magazine, someone who doesn't know who this band is. They see the photo and they're like, oh, this is kind of an interesting photo. I'm going to read up about this band, find out who they are. Because you think about it, the fans of that band, they can read the art interview, they can read the article, but they're going to get it anyway because they're a fan. The idea is to catch non-fans, the eyes of non-fans, and convert them into fans. That's the whole kind of idea behind it. Or to just reinvigorate fans into buy the new album. Just having something more interesting than just standing there and looking emotionless, unless that's your vibe. There are some bands where that's their vibe, but having something more animated and more interesting in at least some of the shots is great. But you know, some bands, you tell them as a photographer, hey, you know, scream at the lens, or hey, do something active, do something big, make big poses, take up a lot of room, and they just cross their arms and they're like, you know, that this is what we do. And that's fine. You know, some bands are not as apt to be emotive as other bands, if that makes sense.
It does. I have a question. What would be some good examples of Outburn covers that you would say kind of have that like what you would think would be like the best examples of what you're talking about?
Okay. In the terms best. Of someone who is not emotive and still nails it, Papa Emeritus. But he wears a mask. If you're in a band, wear a mask. You'll kill it every time. You don't have to do anything. I'm trying to think. If I had them in front of me, I'd be like, oh, these were
great covers. Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. I'm just...
No, it's okay. Off the top of my head, I didn't shoot this one, but the Suicide Silence cover with Mitch doing this and screaming looked really cool. The shot of Chris Motionless with Motionless and White doing the similar thing looked really cool. I liked what we did with the new Motionless covers, where there was three different covers that correlated to the band's album cover. So there was a fire one, a purple one, and a white one to give back to the, you know, traditional old days of the Creatures and whatnot. Pose wise, I think doing something interesting rather than just standing there usually does well for covers, but it also depends on the band and their feel and their look, you know?
Fair enough.
And then sometimes props don't hurt, having some sort of concept. I think that's where, nothing against Outburn, that's where Metal Hammer wins. Metal Hammer wins in that their covers are always so incredible. They think them out. They have a plan ahead of time. They have, you know, okay, this is what we're going to do in post-production. This is what we need you to do. The idea is it's going to look like Stranger Things, and we're adding this, this, and this. We need you to shoot it this way. You're going to do your lighting because we know what you do, and that's why we're hiring you to shoot it. But here's the idea, and it's always highly conceptual, whereas the Outburn covers are not. You know, Outburn covers are just a band's there, and it's got the design to it, usually more interesting of lighting and background than, say, a Revolver, which is usually a very clean studio shot. And then AP, I don't know what AP's up to lately, honestly, but back in the day, it was always very bright, colorful, and poppy.
Yep.
So if I was shooting for AP, I needed to make it bright, colorful, and poppy. If I was shooting for Kerrang, I needed to make it crisp and clean. If I was shooting for Revolver, give it more of a studio look. If I'm shooting for Outburn, make it more gritty. If I'm shooting for Hammer, I know it's going to be probably shot on a background, and then the background would be changed. Actually, my latest Metal Hammer cover, Catatonia, was the first time I shot a cover for them where the background just remained as is. There was no post-production, which was kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
Diving in again to smaller bands, and they're trying to get good promo photos, and they can't travel out to you, but they're looking for a photographer that's local to them. What should they look for in that photographer's portfolio, and how should they, like, how can they find someone that's not just like a wedding photographer? Or would that work?
It could work if that's the look they're going for. Just like when you're looking for a tattoo artist, you look at the portfolio and you say, like, oh, okay, there's one photo that's in our style, maybe not, as opposed to, oh, this person has like six photos in their portfolio or six tattoos in their portfolio that really fit what I want. Let's talk to them and let them know, hey, this is the vibe we like. This is what we're going for. Let's see if they can do what they do with us, and then we can collaborate and make it something that really works for our visual identity and have them bring, you know, their touch to it. Because ideally, when you're hiring a photographer, you're hiring someone to kind of help mold your visual legacy and kind of capture that point in your career to, this is what this band looks like right then and there. And depending on how big the shoot is, it could be a big deal. It could be a shoot that lasts 2 to 3, 4 years, as opposed to, you know, if you're throwing that much money into it, you're going to use that shoot for a long time. As opposed to something small where you're like, hey, we just need this, a couple shots for this, and this is what we want. The thing that always hits me as kind of a misstep is when I have a band reach out to me, hey, we want to do a shoot with you. This is what we're looking to do. Here's our Pinterest board. And they send me a Pinterest board of something that's completely not my style at all, not something in any way that I shoot. And I'm very honest. I'm like, hey, I can definitely do a shoot with you. This isn't normally how I shoot. I can do it. But here's a photographer that is on your Pinterest board that you can hire. Here's their name. But there's some times where I get hit with a Pinterest board and they don't know this. This happened with a pretty well-known rock band that hired me recently. Their manager and the band, we were having a conversation. They sent me their Pinterest board and it was 12 photos. And 10 of those 12 photos were my photos and they didn't know it. So I mentioned that. I'm like, hey, this motionless photo, this in this moment photo, this Ice Nine Kills photo, all these photos are my photos. So you're sending me a Pinterest board of my work. So I think you hired
That's
the right
hilarious.
guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were stoked.
That worked out great for all parties.
Absolutely. I would say the key thing when hiring a photographer is don't hire someone who doesn't shoot what you want to get. You want to see what you want in their work before you hire them.
Okay.
I want to know if you're willing to say, like, what would you say a band should have as a budget if they want to get some quality
Like
photos,
bare
like an indie,
minimum.
like bare minimum type thing?
It's dependent on the photographer, not the band,
Of course. Of
I would say
course.
every photographer charges a different amount and they are not, there's no set amount where it's like, oh, usually these photographers are this much, these photographers are this
Okay,
much,
fair enough.
you know? So I think it's very different depending on who they're going to. But for example, my base rate is 2,500 and it goes up from there. And that's for a big shoot because I don't do small shoots. So if, and I teach this in my seminars, it depends on what you want to do. But for me, I don't want to do those shoots where the band's like, hey, we just need this one shot on a white background. What do you charge? And it's like, no, don't come to me for that. Go to someone else for that. Because when you come to me, you're going to get, you know, at least 10 to 12 different sets of photos with this many different setups, this many finals, this many edits, you know, and you know, you're getting this big package, and that's my minimum. So that's what you're getting. You're getting a big shoot. And usually most bands just get my minimum package because it makes sense. But yeah, I think it varies a lot depending on the level of the photographer, where they're at in their career, what they charge, and whatnot. But I think putting a decent amount of budget into it is important if you feel it's worth it. Just like a tattoo, or you know, anything. I hate to keep on correlating to tattoos, but like you pay for quality, you know? And then I also tell photographers, if you're getting lowballed, you don't want to work with the people looking for a deal because they don't care about their image. They care about saving money. You want your name on the corner of a photo of a band that really cares about their image so much they hire you, not someone who hired you because you're the least expensive. There are plenty of other photographers out there who will do it for cheaper.
100%. I had a question if you had any tips on like red flags that people should be aware of when they're trying to hire a photographer.
I think the portfolio speaks for itself, but check the portfolio and make sure it's actually their work. I've dealt with some instances where, and these photographers have been called out for it, where they just put other people's work on their portfolio. And it's not theirs. And then there's people who say they work for certain bands and they don't work for those bands. They might have photographed them, they don't work for them. So that's kind of a weird thing that's popped up a few times. But in terms of red flags, I would just say do your due diligence and ask people that they've worked with what they're like, if they're good to work with, how they are as a photographer, what the experience was like. And especially like I work with models a lot. And it's much more of a red flag situation with models working with photographers, in that you really need to do that background check kind of thing. Make sure they're professional, bring someone with you to the shoot, all those kind of things. In the band world, I don't think there's a lot of danger in that because there's like five of you and usually one or two of them. But always just making sure their work is their work and they're going to. They're not going to have a party at the photo shoot. They're not going to have, like, you know, substances at the photo shoot. They're going to focus on the shoot. They're not looking to party and hang out with the band or be a fan. They're looking to get the job done. But yeah, in any instance, I would say just ask other people they've worked with and get that kind of referral, you know?
What about the reverse, or what are red flags for you when you got a client trying to work with you?
There are no bands. There's a few bands I have turned down for photo shoots, and it's because of Well, one of them was openly homophobic and I wouldn't work with them. But I can't think of anything in terms of red flags other than those kind of things. Like things where I know that they hurt people or they're hurtful to people. And I wouldn't, and this is personal. This is not what other photographers would do. This is just what I do personally. You know, I won't work with someone like that. But I can't think of any red flags for a band other than like, you know, not paying the deposit or like being disrespectful or anything like that. But that's what deposits are for. Non-refundable deposits. That's what those are for. You know, band wants to not be professional. Well, thanks for the deposit. Bye.
No, that makes sense. And then one other kind of follow-up to that that I just wanted to check here. So what are your qualifications for a band working with you? Obviously, you know that what you just said, but like what do you look for when you're going to work with the band, like if they come to you?
For me personally, I don't think there's many bands I've turned down, aside
Fair.
from the aforementioned. If a band hits me up and they are nowhere within my realm, like say a country artist hit me up and they're like, this is what I want to do. I want to do this shoot with, you know, a bunch of livestock in the background and guns and all this kind of stuff. I'd be like, well, you know, I would take it on actually, but I'd be like, well, I don't normally shoot that, but you know, hey, I want to try something different. I like challenging myself. Game on. Let's woohoo, let's do it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeehaw, exactly. But yeah, in terms of a band reaching out to me, there's very few I've turned down other than, you know, knowing their views are not in alignment with the views of the people I care about and the people I love, you know, stuff like that. And that's, you know, like two bands in the history of all bands that have asked me to do a photo shoot. So that is not something that's existed in the last 10 years, thankfully.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, last question on photography. Do you have any tips for photographers who are just getting started?
I'd shoot as much as you can. Start with local shows and small shows where you can bring your camera in and you don't need a photo pass. Start building your portfolio, building up your relationships with bands is the most important thing. So, like when I was starting, the local bands were, you know, Hatebreed, Shadows Fall, even though they weren't super local, God Forbid, Lamb of God, Terror Throwdown, you know, Walls of Jericho. All those bands were the bands I started shooting when they were playing to like 30, 40 people a night, Killswitch Engage. All of those bands are the local bands here. Not so much Walls of Jericho, but you know, the Massachusetts bands. And as they grew, they were opening for, you know, Slayer and Megadeth and stuff like that. And as their photographer, I was able to go with them to those bigger shows, build my portfolio, and keep growing in that way. So having those relationships with those bands as they start happening is really important. Starting to build your portfolio, getting to bigger and bigger shows, and just keep shooting as much as you can. And if you ever feel that you hit a wall where you're not happy with photography, take a break because the last thing you want to do is get burnt out when you're starting, you know?
Actually, I just
Fair.
wanted to quickly ask, should someone work for free when they start out, or no, in your opinion?
It's a huge faux pas to work for free, but I feel like if you're going to a show to shoot a band and you're not hired to do it, you can't go to a show, shoot the band, and then, you know, be like, hey, I just shot your band. You didn't hire me, give me money.
So many people do that too, or have.
But that being said, say you go to a show, you shoot a band, you send them the photos and they want to use them and they really like it, absolutely charge for that. Absolutely get paid for that. You should get paid based on usage. You should get paid if you're hired. If you're not hired and they're not using the images, there's no reason for you to get paid. And that is kind of, you know, people get caught in the I can't get a photo pass because I don't have a job with a magazine. I can't get a job with a magazine because I don't have a portfolio. I can't build my portfolio because I can't get a photo pass. And they get stuck in that. And that's where you build with the locals, build your images, make the locals look larger than life, make them look as big as Metallica, make them look as epic as you can. And your work will speak for itself. The way these photographers and myself included moved up is we were shooting these local bands the same way you would shoot all the major bands, and I do that now. Like if the smallest band on earth hired me to do their photo shoot, I would treat them the same way I would treat, you know, Slayer, Megadeth, Metallica, whoever else. and shoot them in the same way, and not the same way lighting wise or, you know, posing wise, but you get what I mean, like treat them the same way. You know, that's very, very important. And I think that's how you build as a photographer. But you can't hold people hostage for payments that were not pre-agreed to. But one thing I will say is if you know you're going to a show, you know you're going out to shoot a show. And even if you're just shooting for one band, hit up all the other bands. Let them know, hey, I'm going to be here. Here's a deal. If you want 30 edited photos within 24 to 48 hours of the show, I'll send you the images. And if you approve of them and you want them, you can pay me this much. You don't have to pay me ahead of time because I'm already going to be there, but I'll shoot it anyway. And you can let me know if you like it, or even, you know, work it out so they pay you ahead of time. Either way, that's a good way to get paid multiple times on one job, which is always a good thing to do.
Well, this prompts another question. Let's say a band uses them by posting them on their Instagram, social media usage. And that's the only way that they use them. Is that something that photographers can charge for or should charge for? Like, is that an industry standard?
I mean, people do get paid for that. That's what tour photographers do. Tour photographers who are on tour with the band, those usually just get used on Instagram. You know, that's where they go, or TikTok if they're doing video. I think if, say, I shot a show, say I shot whatever show and I posted a photo on Instagram, and then that artist then takes that photo and reposts it, that is very different than me sending them the photos and them using it to promote the tour, you know, moving forward, which is something I do often where I'll shoot a show, I'll sell the set to them, and then they use those photos for months and months and months or even years to promote upcoming shows, upcoming tours. Those are two very different things. I think reposting, perfectly fine. You credit me as a photographer and you reposted my work. You didn't edit it. You didn't crop out my watermark. Cool. That's why I posted it. And you know what? It helps me because if I post a Alice Cooper photo, anyone who follows me that likes Alice Cooper sees it. Alice Cooper reposts it. Everyone who likes Alice Cooper, which is way more people than like me. Everyone who likes Alice Cooper sees it and sees my name and starts following me because they know I work with Alice Cooper, you know, stuff like that. But I have seen instances of photographers get into insane legal debate over those kind of things in terms of, you know, just making a huge fuss, trying to end careers, trying to cancel people for reposting their photo that they posted online. When legally, Instagram owns it as soon as you post it. So,
Good point.
Yes.
So then how can photographers kind of transition from that phase where they are not charging for live photography? Let's say they go to shows, they post their photos on Instagram and they never get paid for it. They never expect to get paid for it. Is there a way for them to transition out of that and start charging and start making money for what they're doing?
I think that's 90% of photographers are in 90% of music photographers are in that space right now. It's very hard to break out of, especially when it's not like it was 25 years ago and there's, you know, two, three photographers at a show and there's like 20, you know, it's very flooded now. And cameras are easier to deal with, less expensive. So there's way more competition and it shouldn't be looked at as competition. People are shooting for different reasons, but breaking out of that and starting to charge, I would say do it before you think you're ready to do it, because so many people just wait and wait and wait to have the right portfolio or wait till they feel they're confident with their work. As long as the client is happy with what you're getting, you should be charging. Because if you're getting what the client needs, you're doing your job and you should be compensated for that. Because if you think about it, when you're going to a show and you're shooting for free, you're actually paying to shoot. Even if you're on the guest list and you're getting in for free, and you're shooting the show, you're paying for gas, you're paying for tolls, you're paying for parking, maybe food, and you're paying for your time. So you are paying to shoot that band. You're not shooting for free. And any sort of compensation that goes toward that, at a certain level, you're just breaking even. And then when you start making actual money and you're doing more than breaking even, that's when you're kind of like, cool. And I see a lot of situations where companies will take advantage of photographers, people will have contests. And, you know, a lot of times I'll reach out and I'll say like, hey, man, like I'll DM them. I won't put them on blast publicly. And it's like, hey, I know you're giving these photographers who are young a chance to be, you know, in your calendar, in your magazine, and you're giving them photo credit, and that's really cool. But like, even if you can give them $50, I assure you, having that $50 check with your logo of a magazine or outlet that they look up to on the check, that's going to be so meaningful to them. Do that. Pay them any little bit you can, as long as you pay them something beyond photo credit.
Awesome. I do, we're definitely pushing it on time today, but so many great insights on photography. I want to move on into talking just a little bit about Outburn Magazine. And Outburn Magazine is one of the few, very, very few, remaining print magazines for heavy music. What are the complications associated with the logistics of maintaining a print magazine in today's music world that you're aware of?
So I will say this, Rodney is the business of Outburn. He owns Outburn. I'm just the editor in chief, but I do like we went under. The magazine did go under for 3 years and it was not in print from 2017 until 2020, I believe. But when I took over and as editor in chief, when it went under, you know, I'd been there as head photographer for 12 years. But when it went under, the goal was to bring it back into print. Because I figured out, like, okay, this is how other magazines are doing things to stay alive in a time when magazines are going under. We need to do it in a way that makes it a collectible, not just a magazine. We got to put more quality into the magazine. So now it's a high quality magazine. It's not printed on, you know, thin, glossy rag paper. It's really, really nice matte paper. And each issue is kind of a collector's edition in one way or another and doing multiple covers, something they've never done before. There was lots of things I brought to them before they went under that they didn't do that we are doing now. So that's thankful. But I do know every issue is kind of like, oh, we hope it sells enough to break even. Advertising is slowed intensely. I know Rodney's told me how much they made in advertising, you know, 15 years ago, and it's just an unheard of amount of money. And that doesn't exist because they're not, companies aren't advertising in print as much as they used to. So that makes it difficult as the editor in chief to cover any bands I want, any, you know, whoever, because it's like, oh, this band is on this label and they don't place ads with us. They're not financially supporting them. We shouldn't support their bands, you know, kind of thing, which I get. I understand that because the magazine has to stay afloat. But you know, either way, I just want to cover the bands that I feel deserve it and should be in the magazine. But it definitely makes it more difficult when there's no type of support from labels or from advertisers to cover their bands and cover their artists. Making sure the magazine does well and breaks at least even or makes some money is very, very important, because it's the only way we're going to stay afloat. That's the only way Outburn's going to continue to exist. And having that kind of support where people buy the magazine, we've had so many great instances where it sells out in an hour, which is like insane, where we do like certain bundles and they're gone so quickly, which is amazing. But you can't have the same, you know, 5 to 10 bands on the cover over and over and over and over again. You need to have some sort of variety there. So I think picking the right bands on the cover that will sell the issue while having the right bands on the interior that will make the issue interesting and not making it pay to play, but also staying afloat and making sure you're making enough money where the business stays viable, kind of encapsulates all of that, if that makes sense.
That sounds like a very like nuanced recipe, conducting a symphony sort of situation.
Oh yes, all day stress.
I guess one last question is like, what makes a band stand out to you so much that you want to feature them in the magazine if they're not so much of a heard of band?
Hype. I follow a lot of, I'm always online. I'm always seeing what bands are kind of up and coming and what bands people are kind of hyped on, and seeing what fan bases are really blowing up bands. So seeing bands like, you know, Sleep Token and Spirit Box, who are off massive now, But like 2-3 years ago, seeing them start getting that buzz, it's like, those are the bands we need in the magazine. Seeing bands like Wrist Meets Razor, like kind of start blowing up, it's like, those are the bands we want in the magazine. We were the first magazine to put Motionless on a cover. We were the first magazine to put, the first US magazine to put Baby Metal in the magazine. Like, having your thumb on the pulse of what's happening is very important. And, you know, I'm a nerd. I follow all that stuff. I love the music. I love the bands, or else I wouldn't do what I do. I mean,
yeah, you get any into photographer, a more lucrative industry.
Yeah, of course. I'd go do something that, you know, pays better and is far more boring, but I would never do that. Like, if I didn't make any money, I'd still be doing this because it's all I know and it's all what I love. And I think any photographer in the music industry, they got into it because they're a fan. Anyone who's a publicist, anyone who works in the music industry, they got into it because they're a fan. And we're all fans, but, you know, we're just professional fans at this point who have a trade that can add to the fandom for other fans, which is great. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely.
Curtis, do you have anything to ask before?
I will just keep talking and talking, so I'm going to stop now.
No, please hit me with them.
This will be a 3-hour podcast otherwise, so we'll have to have you back, Karen.
I'm down.
Cool. All right. Right now, I just want to open the floor to you. If there's anything you want to promote, anything coming up, any workshops coming up you want to talk about, hit us with the info.
Sure. I'll give you the rundown of everything I have going on. So my last book, Daughters of Darkness, came out in 2020. I'm doing a follow-up to Daughters of Darkness, but I'm also doing a band photography book that hopefully will be out at the end of this year. And it's going to be the photos, but also the stories behind the shoot, because it's my 20th year as a photographer. So I
nice, congrats. Plan
on doing, thank you. I plan on doing some special stuff with that. I have a seminar in Massachusetts this weekend. It's already sold out, but we're going to announce other seminars in Massachusetts, New York, Chicago, and Vegas and Los Angeles all this year. So those will be announced soon. It will be Chicago in August, Los Angeles in September, New York sometime in May or June, and Las Vegas next month, which will be announced at the end of this week, I believe. So lots excellent. Happening, trying to do more seminar stuff, and the next issue of Outburn is on the way.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Jeremy. We'll talk to you next time you come on the podcast. Everyone listening, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by following or subscribing to us, recommending it to your friends, or leaving us a review on your platform of choice. Thank you for listening to Heavy Business, brought to you by C-Squared Music.